podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 46. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. I'm going to use gentlemen. Gentlemen, how are you?
Oh, phew, I was hoping.
I like that.
I like the gentleman.
Is that the only time you're it's called a gentleman throughout the day?
Probably, yeah. It's like I said, it's a misnomer.
You're like, who? What? Me? Huh?
Yeah, I'm called many other things throughout the day.
Mister.
But we can't say that.
Bad language.
You guys doing all right?
I'm good. I'm doing okay.
I know this is going to be, sometime in January when this is dropped. Yeah. But how was your Christmas?
Good. Enjoyed it, yeah.
Good family time and had a day off about Friday, you said, that they gave you since Christmas was on a Saturday. Good.
Yep, I had Friday off. And yeah, I think the kids got everything and more.
And then some, right, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it was good. We did, we went to bed about 1. Don't ask me why for all you believers out there, right? But Harrison and Jen and I were up till 1, and we told the kids, you can't get up before 7:30. 7:30 on the dot. They came in, flipped the lights on, and said, Merry Christmas. Yeah. And I was like, guys, it cannot. I thought, I don't remember sleeping. I was like, it can't be 7:30. It had to have been like 3:30 in the morning. I looked at the clock. I'm like, oh, crap, it's 7:30. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to the presents.
You thought you had another 4 hours?
I was like.
Man, you're out of
it. I was a little bit of a Grinch for it to start off with. I'll be honest. I had to kind of shake out the cobwebs because it was like. But we did the Christmasing thing. Everybody got what they wanted. I didn't, like I said, I handled myself quite well, I think. Don't ask Jenna. And then we went to see Sing 2.
Oh.
Harrison, he leaned over to me and he said, I wish we went to see Spider-Man.
I heard Sing 2 is good, though.
It's excellent. I told him the first one. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, we're going to go see it on Friday.
Hmm? Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we've already seen
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't.
We were going to go see that today. But, well, it's between that and Ghostbusters, and we saw the new Ghostbusters. Loved it.
Yeah, I need to see
now
that
we
one.
Can talk about. Oh, now we can't talk about it until Nate sees
nope.
it.
Right.
It's excellent.
Well, you don't want to spoil it for any creepies either.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, no spoiling. Yeah, Christmas was good. It was good.
Did you get everything you wanted?
I had the day off. I had Christmas Eve off, and then, yes, I did.
Nice.
Kids, they made out like bandits. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah. I just love the time off. You know?
Yeah.
Didn't have to work other than till Sunday. So I literally had Friday and Saturday off, full day and night.
I am still trying to get
it. Oh, and the kids woke up at 6:30. They said, we want to get up at 6. I go. I said, can we do 8 or 9? Amy's like, 9? Come on. I go,
negotiation.
What? And I was like, 7? 6:36. I looked at the time. I hopped right up. I did.
Good for you.
Last year
no
I was
grinching?
Like, yeah, last year I was a Grinch big time. That might be nice, actually.
I don't want to brag, but we actually had to go get our boys.
Oh, you are bragging a little bit.
8:30 or something like that. I was like, are you guys coming down? Sure. I was like, well, is everybody up? I was like, yeah, we're waiting on you.
Sounds like a dream.
Yeah. Our kids are still, they're just 11 and almost 14, so they're still. But you know what? 2 years ago, they got up. It was one of those rarities. It was like 9 o'clock. I was like, whoa, this is great. I thought maybe that would start a trend. No.
Did the time change again?
It lasted one time. So last year was again. It was like 6:37.
I worked Sunday. And then we changed our recording night, so we're recording this right now as we speak on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrown off. I was checking the drop for tonight, thinking it was Wednesday, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have the drop ready. It's because it's tomorrow night.
I caught myself because I almost messaged him and said, hey man, where's the drop?
Where's the drop?
Wait a minute. Nope, it's Tuesday.
I felt that way too. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone most of the day because of that.
Yeah, it was great though. Yesterday we went to lunch, we went to the Brew Burger and... Ooh. You know, us four and, you know, just middle of the day, lunch, and went shopping.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, wow. The mall,
about that.
Today, saw Ghostbusters. And now, as we're recording, my wife and another friend, they're taking 4 or 5 teenage girls shopping.
Ooh, fun.
That sounds like a dream.
My son, poor Elijah, he's like,
nightmare for Elijah.
Other than looking at these cute little girls.
Well, yeah, they're good.
No, they're all sweet and they're good girls. And, Yeah, so that's what
life hands you lemons. You get you I make go, some well, lemonade, right?
I'll see you. I'm going to record. Yeah, right. have fun like, with that, babe.
Dad, can I go, please?
I know he. No, nah, not well. He likes shop too. Don't. He's got money.
Right? Don't let him trick you.
Yeah, he. Yeah, he's all right. So, episode 46, Creepies. Thanks for joining us once again.
46. Whoop.
I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Sean for some pre-topic announcements.
I'm going to do the pre-topic announcements, and I have to give a quick shout-out. We like shout-outs here. We have three listeners that are, one of them I've been talking about a little bit throughout the podcast history here is Harrison, my son, right? So he is listening.
Never heard of him.
He listens, yeah. Well, he's very not well-known, but haha, Harrison out there. He listens now while he plays video games, he said. And he and I actually converse about our episodes. I kind of like it a lot. I told him, I said, I don't care if everybody stops listening. Please don't everybody stop listening. But as long as he's listening and just, you know, like it matters to me that he listens. And so he, and he
you
also
have
has
at least
two
a
friends.
Family
I know, exactly.
Supporting you.
I have a family supporting me. So,
yeah.
And his buddy, Nolan. So, and Nolan's over tonight, by the way. And so shout out to Nolan. Nolan is listening.
Hey, Nolan.
And Jalen is still listening. So Jay Bird, right?
Hey, Jalen. That's right, Jay Bird.
Jay Bird. So they, and this is what's funny, and I wanted to say, they listened to our Conjuring, you know, the Conjuring House, and they watched the Conjuring movie, the first one. They'd never seen it. And I told them, man, if I would have known that, I would have given you some, like, you know, some like heads up, but they watched it. Jalen said, oh, wasn't that scary? And they said, the reason Jalen didn't think it was scary because he fell asleep in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, well, good grief. No wonder.
And the other two are like petrified now.
It was a great movie.
Oh, I do. Yeah. So Harrison, he's talking about it at dinner. I was like, did you know about this? Did you know he's going to watch this? I was like, I kind of figured, but so that's really cool. So we appreciate it, boys.
Yeah.
You listening.
Thank you.
And they've been telling other people at school. So. Yeah.
Oh, spreading the word at school.
Yeah, so that's cool. I really appreciate that, boys.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
So then that leads us into the announcements, or the first part of the announcements. Merch. We have merch of all kinds with our logo on it. You can dream it. You can think about it. It's probably out there as long as it's appropriate, right? We would love for you guys to rate and review us. Whatever podcast platform you're listening on, please come out there and show us some love. It really helps our show.
Preferably a 5-star, but
I think that's all you can do is 5-star for us. Any other one, other podcasts, I'm not sure, but ours only allows 5-stars.
True,
so
true.
I think it says that.
Right.
And we are a community here. We're building fun. We're building guy time. You know, we love what we're doing here. But one of the most important things that we can do is highlight mental health. This is, we all need it right now. So we always want to give out the numbers. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is 1-800-662-4357. The last one, that's HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255. And the last one on that is TALK.
Awesome. Yeah, this time of year.
It's true.
It's pretty much any time of the year, but especially this thing starting about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's rough on people. All these family get-togethers, and sometimes there's some changes.
Yep. I saw firsthand this past Christmas.
Yeah.
From another family member.
If you need help, get help.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody. Yeah. These numbers are a good way to start, but you know, if you don't feel comfortable talking to somebody.
Right. And I think about, like, it might not be somebody listens to our podcast. It might not be for them, but maybe they're like, oh my gosh, my friend, cousin, family member, they're struggling, so they can pass on to that.
Sammy agrees. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, please get help.
Yeah. Sam, we're us three. We're long gone. He's like, well, I knew that, but yeah.
He's tired of the yelling.
Oh, I thought I heard him go, loud noises.
Pre-recording.
Anyway, yeah, so thank you for that. And I just want to mention that, again, July 16th, 2022, will be the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indy.
Whoop, whoop.
From 6 to 10, and we are with the Tragedy of Cinema gentlemen.
Oh, they're gentlemen too, huh?
They are.
They'll be surprised and probably pleased to know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're excited about that. Now we're close to saying, you know, 6 months away.
That's wild.
Yeah, we're
really
pretty excited.
So excited is an understatement.
And tickets are on sale. Go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
Yes. Still working on a venue, though, right?
There is one picked out, but it
not
could change.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Not officially announced then yet.
Okay. So, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, before we get to what we're talking about in our topic discussion, my sister, Heather, also a listener. So my sister, and I know my parents listen
Hi, Heather.
Too, so a little more shout outs there. So Heather sent me the story, and she said you should use this for
is
your
this
podcast.
Is this the Lehman family episode?
It is. So anyway, let's talk about my family.
A lot of name dropping.
My family tree that doesn't always brand. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
So Heather said, you should use this story for your podcast. And she sent it to me. And she said, this is a really creepy unsolved murder mystery. And she said, and the funny thing about this is this person that they found dead is apparently my third or our third cousin. So it was my grandfather's relative or cousin.
Okay.
And my grandpa Lehman. So this gentleman, okay, I'll read this real. I'll make this quick. So his name is Kenneth Moss, was found deceased in a rural Cass County, Indiana. So I was born in Cass County, Logansport, and raised in Kokomo. So Cass County, Indiana field in 1964, beneath the tire of his car. What initially appeared to be a tragic accident quickly turned to foul play when it was discovered that Kenneth had mud forcibly pushed down his nose and throat to the point of asphyxiation. On November 29, 1964, around 9:30 a.m., a Cass County, Indiana farmer named William Dixon noticed a car parked in his neighbor's field. The 1959 Chevrolet station wagon sat about 100 yards east of U.S. 35, just off a rural farming road near a small patch of trees. As William approached the muddy station wagon, he noticed a pair of men's legs protruding from underneath of the vehicle's right rear wheel. William began to call out, believing the person was merely working on their car. However, as he neared, he quickly realized that the young man beneath the tire was deceased. William went to the neighbor's house and summoned for police. Investigators arrived on scene, initially believing that they were dealing with a tragic accident. A wallet found inside of the vehicle identified the young man as a 22-year-old Kenneth Moss, a resident of Kokomo, Indiana. A neighbor and later Kenneth's brother confirmed his identity. The wallet also contained a small sum of cash. Kenneth was found laying face up on the ground, his face covered by a large amount of mud. The right rear wheel of his station wagon sat atop his chest. The tire's valve cap had been removed, and the tire was flat. A small camp shovel that would later be confirmed to belong to Kenneth was found laying next to his body. A hole long and wide enough for Kenneth to lay in had been dug using the shovel, roughly 18 inches deep. Several other similar holes, as well as scuff marks, were found next to the car. Inside of the vehicle, investigators found a brown mud-covered jacket, a flashlight, several flares, an unused jack and spare tire, three mud-covered boards, a small chain, and Kenneth's wallet. The car was in neutral. The keys were in the off position in the ignition. A small amount of blood was discovered on the rear fender above Kenneth's body, both on top and underneath of chunks of mud that clung to the vehicle. Kenneth was dressed in green coveralls, a green military fatigue hat, and army boots. A brown wristwatch he wore had stopped at 5:17 a.m. Investigators on scene noted that the entire situation appeared to be almost staged. A coroner's report would confirm their suspicions. Kenneth's cause of death proved to be a most brutal one. Mud had been forced down his nose and throat to the point of his being asphyxiated. The coroner was quoted as saying, "I've never seen anything like it. There was mud forced all the way down this man's esophagus and larynx. No person could do that to themselves." Kenneth sustained no other injuries that would have caused his death. However, a bizarre series of fresh superficial cuts were discovered on his forehead. They were described as 9 uniformly spaced cuts, about 3/4 of an inch long, running parallel about an inch above his eyebrows. Investigators theorized the cuts may have been caused by a small chain. However, it was never ultimately determined what caused them. It was also determined that Kenneth was dead before the car's tire was rolled onto his chest. The tire was taken by police, and it was learned that it had sustained no damage and had been purposefully deflated. Kenneth was last seen at roughly 6 p.m. at a nearby gas station filling up his car with gas. A neighbor at the trailer park confirmed seeing Kenneth arrive home a little after 6, but said he didn't know what time he left again or if he was alone. Kenneth's small mobile home at the Forest Ridge Trailer Court, where he lived alone, was searched for clues, but ultimately turned up no leads. Police turned to Kenneth's small group of friends and family for help. However, Kenneth had no girlfriend and very few close friends. He was described as quiet but a friendly guy who worked hard at his factory job in Kokomo, and he loved to hunt and fish. He was also a member of the National Guard. Police questioned many people. However, they never discovered any motive for Kenneth's murder. With the money found in his wallet, robbery was immediately ruled out, and police could find no evidence that Kenneth had any enemies. 56 years later, his murder remains unsolved.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, man.
What a weird way to, like...
And I'm related to the guy.
Oh, gosh. That's sad.
Which is weird.
So he was 22?
Yeah.
So he'd be like 78, almost 79 years old.
I don't
today.
Know. Yeah. Begs so many questions. And, I mean, we could... Obviously, they didn't figure it out in all these years. But it's like, what in the world would have caused all that mud to be literally, like, forced in his...
I don't think I've ever heard that type of...
Wow.
...way to murder somebody.
Not awful.
Forcing mud down their nose and throat.
So, my sister...
How'd she find it? Like, how'd she find out
about it? It's on Reddit. So, I don't know if my mom and her were talking about it or something, and she looked it up. I really don't know. I haven't talked to her about it. Okay. She just texted me, and she's like, oh, you should use this.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I will.
It's sad, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very sad. So, God bless his soul, of course, but what an awful way to go. Just a young man. So, anyway...
Like maybe like a senior in college. That's young.
There's your creepy. So we're done for the episode now.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Yeah, bringing up the mood here.
Yeah.
So today's topic from that springboard into something even wonderful, more wonderful. We're going to talk about a historic thing, but also creepy, also weird, unsolved in its own right, is Stonehenge. There it is.
Okay.
Drop the mic. To set a little bit of foundation, and then we're going to go into it. I've got all my crazy notes written over here. Stonehenge from the Wikipedia, right? Stonehenge is a prehistoric monument on Salisbury Plain in Wiltshire, England. 2 miles west of Amesbury, it consists of an outer ring of vertical Sarsen standing stones. Those Sarsen are considered the giant stones, each around 13 feet high, 7 feet wide, and weighing around 25 tons. Topped by connecting horizontal lintel stones. Inside is a ring of smaller blue stones. Those are very popular, and those are supposed to have healing capabilities. Inside these are freestanding trilithons, 2 bulkier vertical sarsens joined by 1 lintel. The whole monument, now ruinous, is oriented toward the sunrise on the summer solstice. The stones are set within earthworks in the middle of the most dense complex of Neolithic and Bronze Age monuments in England, including several hundred tumuli or burial mounds. Lots of cool pictures. I've never been. I would love to go to Stonehenge. That's one of the places that...
Yeah, it's always fascinated me.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You're saying we're going to add that to our... trip list.
Yeah.
Stonehenge.
We should probably bump that up to number 1. Mm. No pressure. No problem.
Yeah, I can see top 10.
Top 10. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is like Nate says.
Sorry, Turda. It might bump you.
It's pretty interesting, fascinating, and all that good stuff.
It's considered a Neolithic enigma.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard estimates of up to 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, I saw 5 and I just saw 6.
I've seen up to that entire area, because there's more than just the stones you see there. That stones that you see now are about 25% of the actual what it was, which is interesting in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's probably taken more like 10,000 years for the development, all of that, and then obviously the decimation of it as well.
Yeah.
So
if I remember correctly, I've seen it on a few documentaries, and there's like if you zoom out from just the stone, you know, monument part of it, I mean, there's ditches and other various things around the area.
Right.
It is considered one of the most famous landmarks in England, of course.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows what Stonehenge is.
I would think. I would think. No matter what age you are.
I mean, Spinal Tap.
Right? Yeah.
They sing about it.
Right. Everybody's talking about Stonehenge.
It's a great movie, by the way.
It's interesting because Stonehenge, and it's right, obviously, it's talked about a lot, and it's, you know, looked at. They say the funny thing is maybe it's just ancient technology or ancient, you know, the ancients knew exactly what it was, and they were more in touch with energies of the earth, and they knew, well, of course I know what it is, but now we're kind of, you know, scientifically hoity-toity, and we're like, have no idea what this is, you know, just ancient, you know, silliness. So who knows? I mean, it could be some kind of an energy grid, of course. It could be, they think, a lot of people just assume it's a burial ground or place of worship. So it's basically like a cemetery church to some people.
Yeah, right.
And it could be. And there is, you know, there are, does it look like there is a fair amount of people that are buried there or, you know, corpses and things like that. So it, that's very possible.
Yeah. There's all kinds of, I'm looking at this story called Life, or it's the website's Live Science, and it says, wild theories about Stonehenge have persisted since the Middle Ages, with 12th century myths crediting the wizard Merlin with constructing the site. More recently, obviously, UFO believers have spun theories about ancient aliens and spacecraft landing pads. Ooh, yeah. So I've heard of that a lot. You know,
you just aliens. You want to jump right into the truth, then. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Feet first.
No, but yeah, so it's just interesting all the different takes and all the different ideas that people have of how these come about and what they are, who you know, who made them, who brought them, whatever.
Well, it goes hand in hand with people's thoughts of like the pyramids too. It's like, how did they move these big stones?
Yeah.
How did they erect them? How'd they get the horizontal ones on top of the vertical ones?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because some of these
they didn't have cranes, but I mean, they didn't have like we have.
You know? No, not not modern cranes. But,
I mean,
of
if you're
any sort,
they are 34 ton stones on the outer rim. There are stones that are upwards of 50 to 70 tons in this mix. The blue stones are several tons, and they're all. I mean, the way they would have looked, they show what, you know, right now they're in ruins, but they show what they would have looked like, and they're beautiful. I mean, it would have been a beautiful structure.
Mm-hmm. It's and just to give you some context, I mean, I think most people know, but not everybody. If it's 34 tons, you're looking at 68,000 pounds. It's 2,000 pounds a ton.
So
that's heavy.
Well,
that's very heavy.
Yeah.
A couple things, what you were just saying, which are fascinating, and it does, we could talk about this stuff for hours, honestly, because, how did they get there, number one?
Yeah.
And they say, well, there's the roller theory, which is also how they figured out the pyramids. But it's like,
I mean, it's doable.
It is, but
it's definitely doable. But I mean,
that'd have to be some big wood because, like, think about what that would that much. You know, the stones crushing the crap out of the wood. Like, eventually, you'd have to change those wood rollers like over and over and over again, unless there's something we don't know in that theory. That seems a little. That would take a lot of work
and a lot of time
with Stonehenge.
Yeah. I mean, just time.
They said there's a lot of Neolithic stone structures around England and Europe, you know, those that happens, right?
Yeah.
And some of them are castles and blah, blah, blah. But the thing about Stonehenge is in this area, there were no stones. These stones don't exist. The blue stones are quite a ways away and somebody had to bring them there. There are theories that the glaciers kind of like over time brought the stones there magically. They say that some people are like, that would be really out there theory. It's possible, but it seems a little like, oh, these are where this needs to be.
Right.
Also Merlin bringing it, you know, magically. I like that one the best, honestly. That's my favorite.
That makes the most sense.
It does. and aliens. And I like,
I'm going to have to disagree, Nate.
My favorite is giants. Giants carrying on their back and erecting them, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
They say, you know, because I don't know if you guys, like the Druids and the Celts, they say, they did it. But the funny thing is if this is 5,000 years old or this whole, you know, plain in this area took 10,000 years, the Druids and the Celts are only like 50 BC. Like, so there's something missing there. So they said, even though a lot, because they were the magical, you know, people don't really know exactly what those guys were about. They're still a mystery to us. So that's why we're like, well, their mystery Stonehenge is a mystery. They probably had a hand in it.
Yeah.
And they might have had a part of the history of it, or they might have used Stonehenge. But to say that they were the ones that built it is probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Unless there was some form of even more ancient form of the Celts and the Druids. But so I don't know exactly. I do wish I knew. I wish I could say, I'll let you in on a little secret with Stonehenge. this is what the deal is.
But you don't.
I do not.
No. So that kind of makes this talk, it's a little mysterious. So
those blue stones were 120 miles west in the Persili Mountains. And so they were saying, well, they could put them on boats and they could take them down the river and they could head them this way east. And, you know, but that's 120 miles
exactly
to take those blue stones.
That's
and they weren't exactly
easy to
small.
Yeah, right. I don't know. As a kid or ever since I've known about Stonehenge, I have always thought, just like Nate said, the pyramids, how do they do this? How long did it take? Who did it? I mean, there's all kinds of questions.
Yeah. Easily 10,000 years.
There's yeah. They've come up with ways of doing the processes, but they everything I've seen, I mean, the processes aren't like time efficient by any means.
Right.
I mean, yeah. There's a lot of work that goes into one piece.
If you're going to take that much time, there has to be a good reason for it. You know, you're not just going to be like, oh, this is going to take longer in my lifetime. Most people, if you're, think about like a college degree, oh, it's going to take me 4 years or 7 years or 12, whatever, you know, whatever these big degrees are. And it's like, that's got to be worth it to you, right? But that's,
there's a purpose and a reason mm-hmm. why you're doing it. To go into school for that long. Yeah.
So for, I mean, and you hear about like, you know, these pyramids being built, you know, and they're not going to be in the same lifetime a lot of times as what the actual ruler or, you know, king or emperor or whatever is even living in. So that, I mean, that's obviously a legacy. So there was some kind of a legacy that was trying to be captured with this, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a, they have evidence that there were holes or posts that were the original, the first construction that was, and that goes around. There's like concentric circles that surround Stonehenge, and that's where some of these, some of the ways that these are set up, and the circles around them, these trenches, are where it gets the name. There's stones, and then there's these hinges. So mm-hmm. that's why it's called Stonehenge. I thought, oh, I didn't ever realize
I
that.
I did not know that.
And so these the first ones that they say this, it's called the Aubrey Circle, and it's 56 holes or posts mm-hmm. That would have been upright sticking out of the ground. What that was for, I don't know exactly. Yeah. It does seem like there is a certain amount, like we talk about the ley lines and the energy lines, mm-hmm. that does seem like there's a connection there. And also, you know, astrological, you know, alignments and things like that are mm-hmm. interesting. You were talking about the pyramids. They say there is kind of an interesting with the Nazca lines. If you draw them to Stonehenge and then down to the pyramid there, it makes kind of like a triangle. Then they're like, is there some connection between those and other, you know, mysterious places on the earth? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Again, it begs the question, is it some kind of an alien? They were joking about, like, did aliens really need, you know, these stone structures? They forgot to develop GPS, you know, for the universe. That they're oh, yeah, that's Earth. And, oh, yeah, that's where we want to land. You know, did they really need that? Maybe. Again, it almost seems a little bit silly. But who knows? We weren't then, right?
And I think that's the thing. Who knows? I mean, what's, you know, one person, if whatever their idea is of why they were constructed or what the, you know, what the purpose was, then you can't dismiss really anybody because you don't know. Nobody knows.
There was, seems to be like a
So everybody's idea is worth saying.
There was some kind of religious undertone here or some kind of a worship.
Pagan
mm-hmm. worshiping. They say that as far as looking into who they found there, and they've dated back and kind of figured out when people would gather there, and it was much more from you know, in the winter is when people would congregate and gather. I thought that was interesting. So there was some reason that people they say when they dug, the archaeologists would dig, that's what their findings would show. I think that's really interesting. There's a heel stone and a friar stone or the sun stone, and it's a really cool stone it stands by itself. And again, it's an alignment on purpose with the sun and certain times of the year that, like I said, there's, it does really cool stuff, you know. But there is a purpose behind it that we are obviously not aware of.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. To think, yeah, 5 to 6,000. I don't care if it's 1,000, just 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago. It's a long time for this thing to, you know, whatever's left. Like I said, there was more to the structure, you know, or more like Nate, you said, there was more to the surrounding area, not just how many stones are there? I forget. I'm drawing a blank. How many are left?
There's 30. Yeah, that's a good question.
Anyway,
a lot.
There's several. And I'm several. Not positive
so exactly. For these to last that long, I mean, just. What this made me think of, European vacation?
They all go,
like
down.
Dominoes. Oh my gosh, I think of that all the time. Wouldn't that be awful? Oh my gosh, knocking that.
Leave it to Clark Griswold, right?
Yeah. Clark.
Oh, Clark Griswold. That'd be something Cousin Eddie, I thought, would be doing.
Exactly right.
Were you looking? Yeah. Anyway.
He's getting the numbers.
Oh, okay. As far as how many?
Trying.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I know we usually talk about, well, what do we think at towards the end of the topic, but we've talked about aliens. I don't know. I honestly don't know if I even have a percentage like, well, I think it's 50-50 that's aliens or 80%. I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this.
You want to believe that it's a portal to the stars. That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You're like,
I think it's maybe some type of burial ceremonial place that, I don't know. I don't know really how to even say. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Like,
I do believe it was for worship. I mean, obviously, you know, to say, I would like to say, oh, yeah, it's a Stargate. I mean, it is.
I honestly think it's some type of religious ceremony.
I do. I really location. Do.
Yeah.
It's interesting that people, they now, still, who did it? Those know. Blue stones, and not just there at Stonehenge, obviously they don't sell the stuff at Stonehenge, but yeah, the same, those same blue stones, they sell those for healing. You know, people carry them as good luck charms or healing okay. stones. So there is a belief that there is a healing capability of course, of the earth and of the energy patterns and stuff. But those blue stones are very, very important. That's what I kept coming back to those. Like, those are really, like I said, this whole thing is an enigma. This whole thing is kind of a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But those blue stones, they were very sacred for some reason at the site. And that to me, really, that's a whole nother, that's a mystery almost within a mystery, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I found some numbers.
Okay. Yay. All right.
All right. Today, only 52 of the original somewhat 80 sarsen stones True. Remain at the monument.
Oh, okay.
This includes all 15 stones forming the central trilithon horseshoe, 33 of the 60 uprights and lintels from the outer sarsen circle, plus the peripheral heel stone, slaughter stone, and two of the four original station stones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Says, from what scientists can tell, Salisbury Plain was considered to be a sacred area long before Stonehenge itself was constructed. As early as 10,500 years ago, three large pine posts, which were totem poles of sorts, were erected at the site. Hunting played an important role in this area. Researchers have uncovered roughly 350 animal bones and 12,500 flint tools or fragments just a mile away from Stonehenge. The findings date back from 7,500 BC to 4,700 BC. The presence of abundant game may have led people to consider the area sacred. There's also, this is another thing I wanted to bring up, and we're going to talk about them too, is crop circles. Crop circles, one of some of the most famous crop circles that we know of, the geometric patterns that are cut mm-hmm. into the crops, are really close to Stonehenge, have been found in close to Stonehenge. And there's talks of these crop circles, you know, like one of the most, some of the most famous. We've talked about this just briefly before, but how you can tell the difference. They're like, well, it's just guys with boards and rope, and they just, you know, they pat it down with their foot, and it just takes them a night. And they've showed what it looks like when somebody does it that way. It looks like a two-year-old does it. It looks ridiculous. It's like, yeah, that would be man-made hoax. But when it's actually done overnight and nobody was seen messing around in that field, and there were like light orbs or whatever people report, and then there's this beautiful geometric shape that actually has some kind of a reason behind it, it's like, okay, what the heck is that? Right. And the fact that it's so close, and so close to these stone structures, including Stonehenge, like I said, is one of the most popular. It does beg the question, is somebody trying to tell us something out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a hoax? Possible. That's absolutely possible. But that's quite an elaborate hoax. It's been going on for some time now.
Right.
And it's concentrated in certain areas of the world. So either people keep this hoax going, or there's something behind it.
Sure.
But I think that's a fascinating connection between crop circles and Stonehenge.
I've got a story here.
I like
stories.
It ties
the two. It says, an eerie figure was snapped seemingly watching a team that were investigating a crop circle. The tall, thin shape was said to be caught on camera by the group investigating a newly formed crop circle near Avebury, Avebury in Wiltshire, which is near the historic Stonehenge Monument. Crop circles allegedly made by landing UFOs, according to believers, are widely considered a huge hoax. However, many people still believe they are a paranormal occurrence caused by aliens or other mysterious forces. These include Pierre Beek, I guess, who travels from his native France to investigate each summer. He said, we were at a crop circle near, and I might be botching this up, so I apologize, England, Avebury, Rava Berry, and there was what we thought was a person standing away in the field. The figure was still and did not move for almost 20 minutes. He said that the figure was recorded on video camera for the whole time, but the camera then panned to another part of the field, and when it returned, the figure was gone.
Ooh.
He added the field was so big that they could not have run away in time without still being seen in the field.
That's crazy.
He says maybe they lay down in a tram line, but it would be strange. It is a strange case, and it was like watching the people in, it is a strange case, and it was like it was watching the people inside the crop circle. I am not saying it was a ghost, but I think it was linked to the paranormal activity in Wiltshire. Mr. Beek has I know I'm probably botching that name too, has produced pictures showing the figure in shot and also of the same scene with it gone. And then it says crop circles were exposed as one of the world's biggest paranormal hoaxes in 1991 when Doug Bauer and David Corley were filmed showing how they made many other reported cornfield patterns discovered across the UK. But they show pictures of this, the field and the area, and this figure's there, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah. That's creepy. I saw that. Anyway. I thought that was cool.
Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I think there is something to the two, or the two are correlated. I think
paranormal is a good way to put it. You know, there's something spooky going on there.
Right.
But and they say when you go there, there's an energy that you can feel. People congregate there over and over and over and over again. I thought it was interesting that there was, I think I posted it one time that the guy that bought it for his wife, it was a rich guy. And then he bought it with the intention for that nobody, it would not cost any more than 18 shillings or something. Mm. You know, you'd never charge the locals more than that. And somebody put, oh, it's a lot more than that now. So that did not stick, apparently.
Yeah, right.
But it was kind of, I did not know that Stonehenge was owned by somebody privately.
I didn't either.
And then he turned it over to the people of England.
Right.
But you know who owns it now?
Because I know what you're talking about. I did not see that, so I don't know.
And I assume it says owned by the crown.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So then, yeah. I assume that means royalty.
Right. Like, right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll be taking that over.
Yeah. I did see
and
that.
All of its power.
As their eyes glow.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Is it? Did your eyes just do that flashy thing?
Yeah.
It says, construction at Stonehenge slowed down around 4,000 years ago. As time went on, the monument fell into neglect and disuse. Some of its stones fell over while others were taken away because it had to be easy to just take them away, right? Surely that would have been like broken little pieces, right? There's an interesting connection between the earlier Kirkus monuments and the later Stonehenge. Archaeologists found that the longest Kirkus monument had two pits, one of the east and one on the west. These pits, in turn, this is part of like the over time, there's a lot of different things that were erected there. One on the east and one on the west. These pits, in turn, align with Stonehenge's heel stone and a processional avenue. Suddenly, you've got a link between the Long Kirkus Pit and the Stonehenge through two massive pits, which appear to be aligned on the sunrise and the sunset on the midsummer solstice. That was from University of Birmingham archaeologist Vincent Gaffney, who is leading a project to map Stonehenge and its environs. Some of the people who built Stonehenge may have lived near the monument in a series of houses excavated at Durrington Walls. Recently, archaeologists discovered evidence that people who lived in these houses feasted on meat and dairy products. The rich diet of the people who may have built Stonehenge provides evidence that they were not slaves or coerced, said a team of archaeologists in an article published in 2015 in the Journal of Antiquity.
Mm.
Sounds very official, doesn't it?
It does. Fancy. Fancy words.
So it is arguably one of the most famous megalithic monuments in the world. But they say it's not, for what it is, it's obviously not as big as the pyramids. It's not as, you know, vast as some of the other, you know, pyramids and structures that are around the world that are still mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the Nazca lines and all those kind of things. But it is definitely one that when you say, hey, what are the mysteries of the world? People inevitably will say, Stonehenge.
Yeah,
and again,
right.
It is fascinating that those stones don't come from around that general area. They were brought to that area for a reason. Again, what reason? We do not know, and that is for you to figure out and tell us. Get on it right now.
Yeah. They say over 800,000 people visit it a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I saw 800,000, I saw 815, okay, and then I saw one article said 900,000 plus, and you used to be able to go up to it, touch them, climb on them, but in 1977, they said that the grass just got trampled and pretty much ruined by all the people that, mm-hmm. you know, visiting every year. So
I'm sure there's an abundance of people
yeah.
coming to see him.
So in 1977, they roped it off. So that's why you can't touch it anymore or climb mm-hmm. on it. So I thought, oh, I honestly didn't know if you still could or not. I really didn't pay attention if crazy. It was roped off.
So. They don't want anybody to Clark Griswold it either.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Which, sort of funny, getting to like, you know, getting that close to a monument.
Mm-hmm.
My in-laws, they took a trip when my wife was younger, and they went to St. Louis, and they're trying to get to the arch. And her dad saw a drive, and was like, oh, and like there's a sign or whatever, arch this way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he drives down this so-called road. It's like, where is this arch? Gets out of the car, and he's parked under the arch. He went down a service road.
That's funny.
That is great.
Wow.
Call him Clark.
It's like, here we are.
Look, kids.
Look, kids, it's the arch.
Oh, there it is.
That's actually pretty funny.
That is great. Good story. Rich story. That is awesome. Yeah. yeah. I'm
That's sorry. A happy little accident, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure. He didn't mean it.
No wait, kids.
Did you see the worth, what it was worth?
No.
It said $112 million. Whatever it is. What's in England?
Pounds.
Pounds.
Mm-hmm.
112 million pounds.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And that's why it's owned by the crown. The crown.
Yeah. It says its ability to do this, it says brings 21% of its annual income. Yeah. Oh, now see, this article says it's up to 1.5 million visitors per year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gosh,
I knew it'd be a lot, but
yeah. Phew.
The next, I guess, most visited is the Dover Castle. So,
Dover.
Yeah. No wonder they can't keep the grass growing.
No kidding, man.
Well, those crop circles, there are so many articles out there about, and it says, people have long wondered what's behind the appearance of the giant crop circles, around the globe. I can't talk tonight either. Oh, my gosh. Especially the latest one near the famous Stonehenge dish before the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. But they show article after article after article, and some of them were in the 2000s, some of them were in the 2010s. It's just a countless number of these circles, and they keep saying, oh, and they're strategically close to Stonehenge. So it's just like, why? Again, if it's a hoax, that's quite an elaborate hoax. And some of the, like I said, I just do not understand how some of these crop circles are done so quickly.
Right.
Aliens.
Yeah.
So you don't think it's the Celts or the Celts or the Druids?
They, like I said, they probably play a part in the history of Stonehenge, but to get to the full understanding is probably not going to be through them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up like hauntings and stuff there. And I mean, there's some stuff, but nothing that like really jumps out. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, because they said like the Druids and stuff used the area for sacrifices, and I mean, you'd think there'd be something, you know, that
mm-hmm.
there are. I know stories have been written about, you know, Stonehenge being like, if you touch the stones at the right time of the year, that you're going to go be transported to either another time or place. So that's the whole idea of that being kind of a stargate, or
that's why they stop people from touching it.
Probably
it wasn't the grass; people were disappearing. Yeah,
I mean, you can refertilize the grass.
I have heard those stories, and again, they've been turned into stories as well.
Where did Jimmy go?
There's a great story series called it's called Outlander, and it was turned into a mm-hmm. series as well. I don't know if you've watched it all.
Yeah,
Jenna has watched part of it, and actually, that's how she goes back into, I believe it's the 1700s, Scotland in the 1700s, mm-hmm. and she goes to like a crop. I think it's Stonehenge, or maybe it's one there. It must be in Scotland, but it is one that she ends up going. Like during, I don't know enough to speak intelligibly on it, but she goes during, and there's like these people doing some kind of a ritual mm-hmm. and probably winter solstice or whatever. And she, after they're done, she goes up there and she's touching a stone and she ends up like going into another time and yep. place. So,
oh, wow.
So why not Stonehenge? Huh?
Yeah. Did you guys see that? Here's another possible reason for them to exist. It says, according to some, the shapes and sizes of the rocks make for excellent acoustics, enhancing and amplifying the sounds of instruments and voices. and even creating some odd audio illusions, all of which could have been used in celebrations and or rituals. Yeah, so they said that it could be used for musical reasons, or they were constructed for that. I've never heard that.
Awful lot of work for just an amphitheater.
That is right, yeah.
This will only take us another couple thousand years, and we'll have great acoustics.
Said in 2012, a study...
Said no one.
Into the Stonehenge's acoustics, Bruno Fidenza, a Salford University researcher, told Life Science that ancient people would have perceived the sound environment around them changing in some way as they entered Stonehenge. It would experience a similar odd sensation that we do today when entering cathedrals.
Okay. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
I saw the different phases of construction. What it is now isn't necessarily what it started out as. I was reading that like the blue stones were brought there, they put them up, then they dismantled them, took them down, put the big stones up, rearranged the blue stones, took them down again, moved them to where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it was constantly changing during construction. It wasn't just like, oh, what? this is what it needs to be.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Now,
I think this is interesting. You know,
that's going into a lot of work.
Yeah.
If you're changing it, not just leaving it the way it was originally.
Yeah, it is a lot of this. This talks about how easy it would be to do it by sled. It says calculations of the labor involved in transporting the bluestones, probably by sled, no big deal, suggests the journey from Juan Mon to the present. I wanted to make sure I said that right. To the present Stonehenge site could have been completed in one summer. Really?
Yeah.
You can cover 3 miles a day if you've got your trackway prepared, he said. They might have been feasting with food and drink, just like a rolling party that moved from one place to another. Like Stonehenge, the circle of Juan Mon was aligned, so it's some of its stones lined up with the sunrise and summer solstice, but they're saying that this could have been what they, you know, what did they say? The monuments throughout the British Isles, there's several of them. They could reflect the eternal pattern of movement of the sun in the heavens. The idea that Stonehenge was first built from a circle of stones transported from a great distance sounds strikingly similar to a medieval legend. The Stonehenge was built at the command of Merlin, like you were talking about, the legendary wizard who aided the equally legendary King Arthur. According to the legend, the stone circle was originally located in Africa, and giants relocated it to Ireland to serve as a magical center for healing. Later, the legend goes, Merlin had giants transport the stones to the current site at Salisbury Plain and reassemble them as a monument to the Britons, killed while fighting the invading Saxons. So that's also why it would be a monument to those who died or slain. Isn't that weird?
Then I read that Merlin...
Giants, I knew it.
Merlin... used his magic and levitated them over the sea to where they're at now.
Who needs giants? We got Merlin, man.
Oh. As Ron Burgundy would say, I don't believe you.
No. Minnie coming up.
I'm not jumping on the Merlin bandwagon. I'm not.
You don't think it was in Africa ever?
No. Nope.
Now that I'm not sold on any of those legends
either.
But they're wildly fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You're like, how
these things came about, why they came about. I know.
So you don't believe in the Lady of the Lake?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's like, whatever. I've seen her.
Inside your mind.
Yeah. I was actually, like you, Nate, I was looking for like just typical ghost, paranormal, haunting type, and there's really
I found ones of like, you know, people have made up stories about ghosts and stuff there, but I didn't see any of the like, oh, that, you know, so and so was, you know, said to be there, blah blah blah,
or
and still haunts.
Well, you know what that means.
Hanging around.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
We gotta go investigate.
We gotta do it.
I mean, it's on our list now.
Yeah.
Can I touch it?
Take Aaron. We're grabbing Linda and Mike. We're going. We're going transcontinental, whatever, out of the country.
Yeah, I would love to see this place. I mean, this structure, it'd be cool.
Yeah,
I mean, gosh, you think about all the things that England has all the castles.
Look at how old.
Those are amazing, too.
We do know how those were made,
but that was still painstaking.
Well, I mean, how old this structure is. You can just imagine all of the crazy things that happen on this spot. I mean, whether it be religious things or, like I said, the druids and sacrificial and...
Maybe battles, fights, maybe
plays.
All right. Just concerts.
Yeah, yeah.
The acoustics were fantastic, I hear.
just that in itself is just mind-blowing, how it was possibly used through all these different eras of time.
That's why it's hard to believe. I mean, if there's got to be some kind of a spiritual energy there or... ghost energy, obviously the residual of some kind.
How do the people feel if you were there when, the first one toppled over?
Oh, man.
I didn't do it.
Not me.
Clark Hagen.
Yeah.
I didn't touch that. I touched this one. I didn't touch that one.
Exactly. Oh, man. That'd be my luck. I'd like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And tare no touchy.
Tare no touch.
Tare no touch. No touch area.
What would you think, the first main reason that they came about? Because I think they actually were used, as they just continue to be, I think different people are using them for different reasons.
Yeah.
They were made for this purpose now, like I said, a concert, whatever, or just a place to worship. And I don't know. I just think it's a place that you can kind of use what you want.
It may have started as, no truth beyond it. It just... thinking about it, I mean, it could have been on someone's, little homestead or whatever, and they had a bonfire there, and the surrounding people got there, and they'd converse and, hang out and and then they're like, oh, we need seats, and, start making timber seats or whatever, and then it's like, hey, why don't we make this more permanent, start bringing stones, and then it just evolves into more of a town center, get together place.
All right.
So it might have started off as a party.
And then
you get these druids or whoever come and take it over and
expand on it.
Yeah. Not understanding what they had it there for. And then they're like, we need to do this.
And they changed.
This is sacred, not just a party place.
It said it changed numerous times.
Right. I have a couple feelings on this. My first serious feeling is that we have amnesia in our history. We don't know all our history.
Oh, that's definite.
And I think this is a good example of that.
Uh-huh.
And truly. Now, that doesn't mean I can explain it.
Didn't they say a lot of the knowledge about a lot of these old structures and stuff was
lost
in Alexander's library that burnt?
Conveniently, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darn it if they didn't. Yeah. A lot. That's, I know. Well, it's the same thing as the scrolls of the Bible, are being used for firewood, and it's like, wait a minute, don't destroy those, those. It's crazy to think about our history, how it's been decimated. It's lucky that we've kept any of it, but it does. There's a lot of holes, and there's, like I said, it makes it easier to say amnesia. The other thing I think is, and I'm being a little funny here, I'm being a little serious, but our ancestors might have gotten high as a kite and thought, let's try this.
Yeah.
Because they did use all kind of, let's call them herbal substances, and they probably maybe had contact with things that were real or not and thought, this sounds like a good idea.
Something spoke to them.
Right, exactly. So
build it and they will come.
Again, I'm trying to be a little funny there. But yeah, so Stonehenge could have been the result of our whacked out ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's all, with all due respect, a little bit funny, but it could be a little true.
Yeah,
let's try our this
whacked
today.
Whacked out ancestor.
We started this off
could
as
be, though.
Yeah, it was
right.
A gag.
Well, I mean, look at
and then
native,
it turned into 10,000 years.
That's like look at Native Indians and a lot of the tribes and stuff. I mean, they'd go and get poppy seeds and stuff and. It's like, it's time for you to be a man, so you need to go out here by yourself and drink this elixir and don't come back until you have your answers.
Yeah.
And they go out there and trip and
They're grabbing
see
up the
all, yeah, see all sorts of stuff, and they come back with some new understanding. I think now you're a man. And, you know.
Throughout history, let's be honest, like those some of those substances are quite lethal, or you know, the dosages can be lethal. And like, ooh, this mushroom, oh, that causes death. Oops, that one causes death. Oops, that one causes some kind of brain damage. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this was a good one. You know, so somebody had to go through trial and error, you know, like, oh, nope, that one killed grandma. So, you know, I don't know. Again, it's amazing that we still live here and that we're still here. We survived.
I know. And it's amazing how we even know anything, really.
Thank God every day.
We ought to just do an episode on that. How have we stayed? How does humanity even still exist with all the dumb?
You get some people that are intelligent and they write stuff down.
Yeah,
this is true.
And some and then people that, don't that, destroy it.
Then those libraries get burned down.
I don't know. I don't know. I have. I don't know if I have any answers as far as, I mean, we don't have the answers, but I don't know if I have anything that I can really.
This is what our show has turned. Our show has turned into, this is the topic. We don't know a thing about
it. We don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we do.
This is where it is.
But we have no answers. Yeah. We want somebody out there like, ring, ring, call us up. I got the answers. Here you go. And then we promise we won't tell.
And you know, the things about like this and the pyramids we'll and like the dude in Florida. It's the weight and the, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's immense.
And you knowing if this was built 100 years ago, well, yeah. Okay.
You just need a tripod. Just the right tripod.
These massive weighing structures become. Well, you know, and then they get constructed.
It gets down to the whole question of why.
I know.
Why manipulate these 40-ton rocks in a pattern? I mean, why
didn't you just use like this couple sticks?
Well, here's the funny thing. Okay, you only have a certain amount of life to live. We kind of talked about that, right? About, is that what you want to use it for?
Even knowing lifespans were shorter back then too.
Even shorter than that's a good point. And look what we're choosing to do with our time. People might look back on our podcast and say, why did they do this?
Why didn't want to sit around every week?
They just sat there talking
about
topics.
They must have really liked each other. Man, I just kind of did
Sean, I don't believe you.
I did a bazinga on ourselves.
You can take that idea and just go.
We're going to have our own holiday someday, right?
Mako Day.
I know the whole thing. How did they do it? Why did they do it? Why did they put it there? Yep. Why, like even just the location? What? Mm-hmm.
Why ask why?
Why ask why?
I mean, I'm just like
why ask women?
The Great Pyramids, you know. I mean, they're great. They're awesome. I mean, it's a magical feat of engineering for when they're built, but it's
a Sphinx, but no.
Yeah, but I mean, it still comes down to the why. I mean, why do you need such a huge structure?
Well, like for their burials? Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's
full.
What do they call it? The Tombs of the Kings or something like that. Yeah. I mean, they're just basically dug into the side of a mountain, you know, tombs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like every single pharaoh erected a massive pyramid for you know, their sarcophagus and stuff. So, I mean, it just, you know, it always comes back to that question of why. I mean, why put all this effort?
Time, energy,
and time and everything
in
it.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And not to understand, you know, I mean, they're awesome. They're awesome structures.
But they I'm
glad they're there.
They still make us scratch our heads.
It gives us a topic to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Since we don't know why.
Next week will be the reason for reason. Why are we here?
I don't know. I don't have any more on Stonehenge.
I can't come up with... We are going to bleed this turnip eventually, right? We're going to get some blood. We're not going to figure it out.
They're stone. I think
I know less.
They're stone. Yeah. Our ancestors might have been stoned.
I have more questions.
That's about as far as we got. Yeah, I think we have more questions than answers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to go with aliens.
And I will say there's actually more ideas of who built them than I originally thought. It's just humans, five that, whatever, or aliens, but I didn't think about,
glaciers.
I didn't think about giants, glaciers, man. There's other things I didn't have any idea that could have been.
Yeah.
I agree,
it's pretty wild. The thing that always baffles my mind about all these things is we can't really put our finger on did they actually have that amount of intelligence and know-how to do these things without outside help.
Yeah.
That's what fascinates me about a lot of it.
Outside help.
Aliens or
giants.
Time travel or, you know, any. Giants. Any
you're saying thing. Out of the, yeah.
I really want
anything
to
out of the norm.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
I want to be Merlin. Giants. Come on. I think it's interesting, and I'm not trying to put down our civilization, because even though we are a bit aloof anyway and a little out there right now, but people say the Dark Ages that happened during the Middle Ages. Now, the reason it's called the Dark Ages is because not a lot was recorded. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it wasn't because we just went into like this sense of like
turn the lights off
dumbness. Yeah. Like where did
well, there was what, 400 years all the light go? That God didn't speak to the, you know. That's the dark.
That's age. Also a dark age, right? Yeah. So those time periods where it's like, wait, what happened during those are dark ages, right? Mm-hmm. And I've heard some people say we're kind of in a dark age in another way. You know what I mean? Like, cause we like, even though we have all this information, we have all this technology, we have all this, you know, we have information at our fingertips. We really, you know, we still don't have a lot of answers.
Yeah.
And so it's somewhat of a dark age now, or we might be slipping into
or,
it. That's,
or
that's kind of pessimistic.
It, or but flip getting, it. We have all this information, all this technology, but do we really know as much as what our ancient civilizations knew?
Maybe not so much.
Good point.
I see.
We could, you
We're
know
philosophizing
what it is, maybe.
Now.
Yeah.
Philosophizing.
I like it.
You're
watch
a philosopher.
Watch out, creepies.
Philosophize
basically
that.
It comes down to we are just we don't understand anymore. We just understand. Let's see, how am I going to say it? It just gets to us quicker that we don't understand.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, we have that at our fingertips that we don't understand.
What just came over on my phone? I don't understand.
I don't
but
know
I have
what
it.
That is.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But I am going to play myself some more Candy Crush.
We could just get to it faster. We could just understand faster that we don't know anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Easier and faster and less. just as
Let's just... We need to wrap our arms around virtual reality, the VR technology we were talking about before we started recording, and then just go into our own little worlds. And,
Matrix?
The Matrix is... Yeah, Matrix or Ready Player One, right?
Yeah.
That's, oh.
Or
that's,
what's the new guy?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry, Tazak.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Matrix and the
Living in a game.
Living in a game world, basically. Yeah. And then just... We basically never see each other again, which is kind of what we're heading towards. Yeah. We're not careful. That's what we're heading towards. Claire, we got an Oculus during Christmas, and Claire had me do this roller coaster, and she said, you can use this on your podcast. Like, and I was like, okay. And it's a scary clown creep show, something or other. And I got on it, and she got mad at me because she kept saying, look forward. And I was like, yeah, but I want to see what's above me and below me and all this kind of stuff. And she wanted me to get all the scares, right? And so she told me, she said, tell me about that on the podcast. So I was like, sorry, I probably ruined it for somebody. Yeah. But anyway, it is actually really good, and it is super creepy, but. VR, here we come. How did we get
Stonehenge.
From Stonehenge to virtual reality to artificial intelligence, basically? We're coming.
Kind of what happens.
Yeah, I know. It's show. A natural progression, right?
Yeah, so there you go, creepies. Go check out Stonehenge and some of the videos and documentaries and
figure out your why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have no answers. Yeah. I really I have less.
What's the
I can just find out quicker that I have less.
They're rocks. Exactly.
The over-under is...
Heavy.
I'm pretty certain about that.
Rocks. The over-under is a big question mark, basically.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
So there you go.
It's one of my favorite things to talk about, though, Stonehenge, really.
So there you go, Stonehenge.
We're going to put that one to bed-ish, right?
So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Sean now. I'm going to say this. We have our very first episode... segment sponsor.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So we're pretty excited right before the end of the first year of our podcast.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Mr. Sean.
And that's a good thing, right?
And I'm going to let him talk about who the sponsor is and what they're sponsoring.
Well, this is, first of all, I have to say thank you, because this is amazing that we've stepped into this realm of somebody wanting to sponsor us. So this is Dr. Brian Jackson. He's my chiropractor here in Plainfield, and he is with Plainfield Family Chiropractic. First of all, he saved my life back in 2016. I've said that on this podcast, so I'm going to say that again, and I don't mean that facetiously. I tell him that regularly, like, thanks for saving my life. Thanks for changing it. You know, like, he's the reason I'm here doing this with such great energy and joy is because when I say he sets me straight, He sets me straight. He has my last real like big migraine was in 2016. Now, do I still get headaches? Yes. Do I still have the effects of migraines? Yes. But he has.
Well, you're married, aren't you?
He's
sorry.
Yeah, can't help yourself.
Edit that out. It just
exactly. Yeah, we better edit that. But I can't say enough good things about him. So he is our first sponsor, and he's sponsoring our middle-aged moment, which will be coming next. But yeah, you can check him and his team out. His team's wonderful. Great girls. They are at www.plainfieldfamilychiropractic.com. They treat migraines, back pain, and in 2022, they will be offering treatment for neuropathy. If you want to contact him, he's on Facebook. I mean, I have definitely shared his Facebook information as well, so you can always check that out. We've shared it on Middle-Aged and Creeped Out too, and I've shared it. It is 317-838-8839 if you want to contact them. And they're at 1729 East Main Street, Plainfield, Indiana, 46168.
Nice.
I can't thank them enough.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Jackson. That's
you will
huge.
Not be yeah, sorry you. If you go check them out and yeah. seek out. We talk about seeking mental health. Seeking body health is important as well.
I mean, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, when you feel good mentally, affects how you feel physically or vice versa. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Jackson, for being our inaugural sponsor, sponsor.
Can't thank you enough, and thank you for all you do. Thank you for your service to you and your team.
And I do want to mention that, just coming off of that, yeah, we're offering segment sponsorships. Mm-hmm. The two that we're really looking for people to sponsor, if you own a business, whether it's brick and mortar or you have a e-commerce type business, Etsy, Amazon, eBay, whatever, some company that you just do, you know, everything online, our middle-aged moments and our, when we have guest chats and, let us know, get in contact and let us know which one you want to sponsor. And I'll give you all the details on how that all works. So yeah, there you go.
So this leads us into our middle-aged moment. And I wanted to cover the poem Invictus. Have you guys ever heard of Invictus?
Mm-hmm.
It is, the meaning of it is unconquerable or undefeated in Latin. It is a poem by W. E. Henley, which is William Ernest Henley. The poem was written while Henley was in the hospital being treated for tuberculosis of the bone, also known as Pott's disease. He had the disease since he was very young, and his foot had been amputated shortly before he wrote the poem. The poem is about courage in the face of death and in holding on to one's own dignity despite the indignities life places before us. So you guys have obviously heard of this.
Uh-huh.
Clint Eastwood also used it in his 2009 film about the 1995 Rugby World
yeah.
Cup in South Africa.
Right.
Named Invictus after mm-hmm. the poem. Nelson Mandela also recited the poem to his fellow prisoners while he was incarcerated on Robben Island. And this was inspired by Henley's personal struggles. So Invictus goes, "Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome.
Yep, I like
mm-hmm.
it.
And so historical, right? So that's the middle-aged moment. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Jackson and team.
Yeah, thanks again for sponsoring.
We appreciate that very much. So we go to the second part of the announcements. And we want to always tell you guys how to connect with us through our email, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. So come connect with us. Tell us stories. Tell us how we're doing. Whatever you want to tell us, right? Mm-hmm. Order merch. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and we are, of course, TikTokers. So that's Middle Age and Creeped Out. And then at Mako Podcast on TikTok. Check us out at the Tuesday Terrors every Tuesday. So Todd and I have been kind of trading back and forth with that. That's fun. We're getting a little bit better. Like I feel like you're getting a lot better. I'm getting a little bit better.
3 minutes and less videos
yeah.
every Tuesday. Yeah. So
we tell stories, or we've been, Todd, you've been making them up, and I like, you've been writing them.
Two of them.
Not Thursday.
Not Thursday. No, not Thursday. No.
Okay. No. Tuesday tarot.
You do Thursday.
It almost turned around. It almost turned out to be tomorrow because I got really busy with family. Well, and I'm like, I might do Tuesday tarot on Wednesday.
And I thought it was Wednesday. So, yeah, who knew? Yeah. Who knows? So, yeah, check those out. And we are on any of your favorite listening platform. Come check us out. Check us out now. Keep checking us out.
Yeah.
Have all your friends. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Everybody. and we cannot say thank you enough for listening, supporting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gracias. Absolutely.
Yeah. Nate, help us, man.
This is the episode that never ends.
We need help back.
Well, I know it's hard to close the door when it has a stone hinge.
Oh.
But that is a wrap.
Thank goodness.
Unless it's Coral Castle.
I appreciate this. Yeah. Gosh, well, thanks, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode number 46. We appreciate it, as Sean said. And until next time, Creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.